Well, good morning, y'all. It's such a pleasure to be with you. And Steve, as usual, is very flattering in his words. But I'm excited to be here. First, I want to, some of you know me. We have been members here for 10 years. We praise God for H&W to be a part of a church that is just on mission, the Great Commission of Christ, so much like H&W locally and globally. It's just been a pleasure to be a member here and a missionary that H&W supports. Some of you may know me better as the husband of Julie. I think we have a picture of Julie and I. Okay, you may know me better. Let's see, do we have that picture? There it is. Some of you may know me. I'm known by some, but I'm better known as the husband of Julie. Okay, I'm also known as the father of Tracy or my granddaughter Emma. You may also know me as the father of Claire or Katie or Bailey. And then probably most famous for the father of Michael, who's back there usually on his bike. Yeah. He's on his bike. He's sneezing all the time. He's our special needs dude. We just simply call him the awesome dude. And he's, he brings his own set of joy to H&W. So I'm his dad, and he's just been such a joy to our family, and of course, all the kids have. And so, also just want to say before we start, we have the opportunity this morning, by God's grace, to go through Revelation 11, verse 15, through Revelation 12, verse 17. And there's a lot of imagery, there's a lot of symbolism, there's a lot of things in there that are hard to understand, but God's going to help us get what we need and apply it. So we're going to go there in just a minute, but first I want to say thank you, H&W, for your support of us as one of your missionaries. H&W is one of those fantastic churches that not only is looking to be Jesus locally, but they want to see Jesus' name famous in all of the world. And so, yes, we worked with the IMB in France from 2002 to 2008. Before that, my wife and I were missionaries at the local school. We were public school teachers here in Spring ISD. I worked at the high school for 10 years as a math teacher, and my wife was a teacher in Spring ISD in the elementary and the junior high. And then by God's divine plan, he moved us into an associate pastor role at First Baptist Church Tomball, where we were growing as new disciples of the Lord. And so in 1999, after we had taught for several years, that's when full-time ministry vocation God gave to us. And so for 23 years now, we've been in full-time ministry. And the last 10 of that with World Hope Ministries International. So a little background on that. When we came off the mission field, I taught a little bit in school while I was seeking God's plan for us. Our son Michael was 5, and he had a lot of needs, as you can imagine, and couldn't get it done as well in France because we were not citizens. So we came back to America to try to meet some of those needs. And lo and behold, the door opened for me to be able to become the interim student pastor at H&W back in 2011. And during that time, I had the awesome opportunity to meet Stuart Sheehan and Dwight Davis, who not only were staff members at H&W, but they also were part of a global ministry, World Hope Ministries International. Little by little, as I was doing the student interim time here, they introduced me to that ministry, and they said, you have all these networks with French-speaking West African Muslim or former Muslims. You have the skill to speak French, would you join World Hope Ministries International and help us take what was just being birthed through the vision of Stuart Sheehan, the Bible Institute, which is kind of like seminary in a box. Would you help us take seminary in a box to those millions of pastors in West Africa who are underserved and isolated, who would never have the opportunity to go to a seminary? That's the mission and vision of the World Hope Bible Institute. It is to train isolated and underserved pastors around the world so that they can grow churches and transform their community. And so I said, if God will open the door, I'll do it. And God did in 2012, and we joined World Hope Ministries International. And I think we have a map of Africa. My title is the Associate Director of the World Hope Bible Institute, over West and Central Africa. So if you look at the map there, let me just kind of work on your African geography. You ready? So if you look at the sub-Saharan part of Africa, that is the part the Sahara runs through. If you see Mauritania over there on the west, it runs through Mauritania, Mali, Niger, Chad, and Sudan. That's the desert. North of that are the Arabs. South of that are the, well, more of the black African races. And so if you look at Senegal over there on the west side, are y'all with me? So I direct those areas. Those are some of the networks I had made in France because of all of the immigration there. And so Senegal, Guinea, and then if you keep going against the Atlantic Ocean, you have Liberia, Sierra Leone, and then you have that red country that's highlighted, Côte d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, and then you have Ghana, Togo, Benin, Nigeria, and then we're coming around the bend, that's Central Africa, and then you have Cameroon and Gabon, and that's kind of where my work stops. And then you go inland over to the Congo and the Central African Republic, and that big country in the middle, the Democratic Republic of Congo, they also speak French. Okay, and then you go up to Chad, Niger, and Mali back around to the west. Are y'all following me? That's kind of the region that I direct. Now, that's a big region with a lot of people and a fairly new church. But by God's grace and the networks He's given to me, I joined World Hope. And in 2014, we began to introduce the Bible Institute into countries that I had networks like. Well, Ivory Coast was highlighted up there, like Cameroon. Those are places we started, like Benin. So we started in three countries with isolated and underserved pastors. We would go there and we would sign a charter agreement with a group of people in the country. And then the goal is to take pastors in America who have had the fantastic opportunity to have seminary training, and we would tell them, will you go to Africa? Of course, we work all over the world, but that was my part of the world. Will you go to Africa and take what you've learned? Let's do a 2 Timothy 2:2 approach. You're the Paul that's received an education by God's grace. Will you go deliver that education to Timothy's so that they can be trained with right theology, so that they can grow a healthy church, and so that they can transform their community? Would you do that free of charge to them? And so we take the American pastor that's willing. We go over there. We started in 2014 in three locations in West Africa. We taught 500 pastors who came in Ivory Coast. We taught 100 who came in Cameroon and another 100 in Benin. Fast forward, we taught 16 core courses of theology. In Ivory Coast in 2017, we graduated 320. Praise the Lord. And the goal for those Timothys, we went to one location that was close to an airport for us, but they can go to the rest of the country for them. And so those 300 graduates have since, in Ivory Coast, started 15 new Bible institutes in Ivory Coast with another 1,000 students. Hallelujah. So we are helping the church in West and Central Africa. Of course, the World Hope Bible Institute in general works all around the world to take seminary in a box to the most isolated and underserved pastors of the world so that the church who's on the Great Commission of Christ can have healthy leaders. So we just want to say thank you, H&W, for joining us, for loving Dr. Sheehan and Dwight Davis and all of the World Hope Ministries International that is doing that work. So just want to say thank you for your partnership in prayer, finances, etc. Now we got to go to the hard part. And that's Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, through Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. There's a lot in there. I'm going to break it down into kind of an epic scene. It's going to be kind of like one of those movies that you go, wow, because it's God's word. Not because I share it, but because God shares it. So before we go there, would you pray with me? We want God to speak to us today. So, Father, here we are. God, we're here on the northwest side of Houston. Your church worldwide has worshiped you already in so many places around the world. Father, to you be the glory and the honor and the praise in what your church does locally and globally, God. We love you. We thank you that we can do nothing without you. God, I don't want to speak. I just want to be a facilitator of your word, getting into the hearts through the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, so that we can become better people. We can be more obedient. Father, as Jesus prayed over his disciples, open our minds this morning. Open our hearts so that we can understand better what you tell us and so that we can apply it better in our lives as we wait on you to come, Jesus, and gather us together to be with you forever. Oh, we love you. To you be the glory, Jesus, in everything we do this morning. Amen. Okay, church, let's go to chapter 11, verse 15. Now, before we do that, let me grab a marker. I practiced a lot of things this week, but one thing I did not practice was this drawing, okay? So real quickly, let me draw a timeline, and I'm not a gifted artist either, so just telling you all that up front. All right, so if this is my timeline, and I know this is small for you way back in the back, but just picture a timeline. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, through chapter 12, verse 17, is 21 verses of an epic adventure. And it starts with the future. So we're going to start out here with the end result. This is the second coming of Christ. Glory. Okay? This is where we start this morning. Glory is right. And this is verses 11, 15 through 18. And then we take scene one or vision one, and then God takes us back to John. Basically what he's doing in the middle of Revelation here, and then we're going to get to the passage. Let's just do a little review. Y'all remember in Revelation chapter 1, Jesus shows up to John in the jail on the island of Patmos and says, John, write this down. And the next two chapters are, let's tell the churches that are currently on the earth, but also let it be something for the church all time. Let's tell them a little bit about what they're doing right, a little bit about what they're doing wrong, what they need to do to correct it, and what they need to do to be following me better. And then we get to chapter 4, and we see the throne room of God. And we see chapter 5, that there's only one who can begin the process of the end times, and it's Jesus, the Lamb of God, right? And he takes the scroll, and he begins to open the seals one by one, right? Okay, that's what Revelation takes us through. And he opens the seals, and then eventually we get to the trumpets. And the last time of God, he goes through a sevenfold process several times. And then when he gets to the seventh trumpet, that's where we begin 11:15. And then it's kind of an interlude. Chapter 12, the end of chapter 11 and chapter 12 are an interlude. We're opening the seals, we're blowing the trumpets. And then God says, John, let me just show you what all this means on the timeline of humanity. Boom. That's what we're going to do today. God just kind of interlude. Here's what it looks like on the timeline of humanity, from creation to the coming of Christ. That's what we're going to look at today. And then 13, you're going to pick up, whenever Steve picks up the next part of this, chapter 13 is going to pick up more of the details that go on in the second coming, the bowls of wrath, et cetera, et cetera. But right now we're in an interlude. Are you with me? So scene one starts with the second coming, the finality of humanity. And then we get to 11:19 through 12:2, and it speaks of Israel and the struggle. Okay? But also that God is good, and even though Israel is in human nature and they struggle to keep God's commands, God is a promise keeper. His redemption plan is coming. And then we get that scene two. This is number two. And then we get to vision number three. Okay, kind of draw a line there. Vision number three, God says to John, remember that it's not only the sin nature that's a struggle. There's a struggle in the cosmos, in the spiritual world. There's an adversary. So scene number three goes to Satan, the dragon. He's been an adversary ever since he chose to rebel against God in the heavenly realms. And then we get to, and that is, by the way, 12:2 through 12:3. 4. Then, scene number 4. Scene number 4 is Jesus. God created, man rebelled, Israel struggled as a chosen people, but God keeps his promises. There's also Satan, who is a part of the rebellion. He's also, he interferes. He's out there. You need to be ready, but God keeps his promises. And then scene number 4 is Jesus comes the first time. Jesus comes, the Messiah, the Son. The scripture says the Son was born, the male. Satan wanted to devour him. He tried to get Herod to devour him. He tried to devour him on the cross, but then Jesus rose again and Satan was in trouble. Amen? And then scene number 5. And by the way, Jesus comes, that's 12:5 through 12:12a. Some of you are saying 12:12a. Well, that's the first part of the verse. And then in 12:12b, we get to scene 5. Are y'all with me? Are you staying with me on my timeline? And then we get 12:12b through 17, verse 17. That's you and me, the chosen people in the church age. It's still talking about a woman representing the chosen people, but that is now us who are grafted in with the Jews who believe in Jesus, and we are one olive tree of the chosen people worldwide. We are the church. And we still have a struggle, and we're still fighting this adversary, but we're going to get to the end, and we're just called to be faithful. Amen? So let's go there, church. Let's look at this. I thought a visual would help. It helps me. So look at scene 1. Are y'all ready? We're going to break this into all these scenes, and we're just going to kind of quickly run through it. And then in the end, the application is, if you're here today and you're not yet put your faith in Jesus so that you're ready for his return, today's the day. I want to give you the opportunity to say, Jesus, I want to follow you, and I want to be on the team that receives, that you receive, rather than be on the team that you reject and destroy, because I choose to reject you. So we're going to give that opportunity for some to put your faith in Jesus for the first time. And then for us who have already put our faith in Jesus, the application is, are you diligent, are you devoted, and are you disciplined? Because Satan is raging, your sin nature is still here, and Jesus can come at any moment. Don't you want to be found ready? I would rather be binging on prayer and on the Word of God than on Netflix, wouldn't you? I would rather be binging on Jesus Christ rather than social media. So that's going to be our application to the church. So let's go. Let's take scene 1, y'all. Verse 15 says, are you with me? The seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is the seventh trumpet, and Jesus is coming. He has come. The 24 elders who were seated before God on their thrones, they fell face down. When Jesus comes, all of heaven is going to fall face down. And they fall face down saying, we give you thanks, Lord God the Almighty, who is and who was. There is no more, and who is to come, because he's come. Hallelujah. Because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, but your wrath has come. The time has come for the dead to be judged and to give the reward to your servants, the prophets, to the saints, and to those who fear your name, both small and great. And the time has come to destroy those who destroy the earth. Church, scene 1. But it's actually the last scene on the timeline of humanity. When Jesus comes at the seventh trumpet, he's coming to do 2 things. Gather his church, those who received him by faith, and reward them and bring him to his side to be with him forever. And then on the left side, Jesus has come to say to those who have rejected him, you rejected me, therefore I reject you, and I will destroy you, and you will be sealed with Satan and all of the unbelievers forever in the lake of fire for constant torment. That's what Jesus is coming to do on his second coming. The first coming, he came to save and give the opportunity for all to turn back to God. But the second coming, there will be no more opportunity. Jesus says, those who receive me, come to me. Those who reject me, I reject you. And that's what's going to happen. Paul describes this a little bit more clearly in 1 Thessalonians 4. chapter 16, where he talks about the believers. So in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, this is what Paul said to the believers in Thessalonica. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice. Are you with me in the similarity? And the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So, church, we can take pleasure in the fact that those who have died in Christ, their soul, their first breath was with Christ after their last breath on earth. They're experiencing Christ today. But when Christ comes back, their body, in whatever form it is, will envelop their soul, and they'll have a physical and spiritual body that will reign with Christ forever. And we, amen. Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Encourage each other with these words, Paul said. Now, if we just happen to be here when Christ comes, we will be instantaneously transformed from the mortal to the immortal. And we will be with Christ and the dead in Christ forever and ever, receiving the rewards that in his grace he gives to us. And Paul says to the Thessalonians, encourage each other with these words. So look at the person to your right and encourage them and say, and Jesus is coming to get you. Or to your left, Jesus is coming to get you, bro. Sister, be ready. That's scene one. My question to you is, if you're here today and you've not yet received Christ, get ready. Receive him today. You can. Jesus is pleading with you. Scene two, we pick up verse 19. Then the temple of God, God kind of takes John and says, John, that's going to be the end. Now let's go back to, let me just show you how faithful I am as God, John. So we get there and it says, then the temple of God in heaven was opened and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. There were flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder and earthquake and severe hail. God is faithful is all that means. He is ominous and he is faithful. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. Now, there's a lot of imagery here that we don't have time to go into, but I'm just going to give you the general what's going on. Verse 2, she was pregnant and cried out in labor and agony as she was about to give birth. Scene 2. God takes John back in the past and says, John, you remember I'm a good creator. I gave Adam and Eve the opportunity to freely choose me. They turned their back. But I'm good, and I'm faithful. And I told Eve, even in the midst of her sin, that one day one of her seed will crush Satan and will crush the rebellion that even she made against me. Because I am good, and I am faithful. There goes the thunder. There goes the earthquake. There goes the hail. I am good. I redeem. I save. And then he says, remember, John? I'm the one, the woman that's dressed in the sun and has her feet on the moon. Israel, that's the chosen people. Then it becomes us after the coming of Christ. That's the center of the universe. People are made in my image. They are the ones that are the center of the solar system. It's the chosen people. Remember, John, when I chose Abraham? Not because Abraham was anything. It's just because I chose him. And remember that I chose Abraham, and even in his struggle, I said one of his descendants would be the blessing to all nations. That's because I'm faithful, and I send the Redeemer, the one who's going to crush Satan, the one who's going to bless all nations. It's the Messiah. It's my son. I will redeem those who struggle against me. And then the woman is struggling. She's in pain. She's pregnant. Basically, that's just Israel struggling to follow and do what God wanted him to do. But God remained faithful. He called Moses, and Moses wasn't faithful. But God said, Moses, I'll raise up somebody from your descendants who'll be a prophet who will share my word. And it was Jesus, the word of God. And then he says to David a little bit later, David, you're sinful, you're struggling, but I'm going to put a king in your place who will be the eternal King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen, church? And it will be the Messiah because I am faithful. Though Israel, the woman, struggles, I am going to bring forth a baby. And that baby is going to crush Satan. That baby is going to be a blessing to all nations. That baby is Jesus Christ, and he is going to be the prophet that speaks the word of God faithfully. And then he says he's going to be the king that sits on the king of Israel forever and ever and ever. Are you with me, church? And then God says, but before she gives birth to the Messiah, scene number three, There's also an adversary in the sky that you need to know about. There's an adversary, as Paul would say to the Ephesians, your battle's not against flesh and blood, though you have your sin nature and you need to fight that every day. Your battle is against the spiritual forces of evil. And so in verse 3, we get a picture of that. Are y'all following along? There's a lot to cover here. I'm speaking kind of fast, but so verse 3 says, then another sign appeared in heaven. There was a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its heads were 7 crowns. Its tail swept away a third of the stars in heaven and hurled them to the earth. And the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that when she did give birth, it might devour the child. God reminds John and the church for all time, us today, that there is an adversary that is always, as Peter said, what did Peter say? He said, he's like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I see a weak Christian who's binging on Netflix and not on prayer. Boom, I go there. And I say, just keep going there. Just keep going. You just keep going and don't pray. It's okay. Don't read the Word of God. If I see a non-believer who's doing something that non-believers do, just keep doing it. Yeah, just keep going. Anybody ever read The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis? Great book to read from a man's point of view about what that might look like, okay? But Satan is an adversary, and it says he got in front of Israel wanting to devour the sun. Are y'all with me? And it says, so we get to scene number 4. Jesus comes, the Messiah. God weaves, despite Satan's rebellion and a third of the demons that he took with him, and despite Israel's struggle and man's struggle with sin, God is faithful. And the Messiah came. And Satan, who is not omnipotent nor omniscient, thought he had him. He said, I'm just going to have convinced Herod to kill all the 2-year-old babies. He tried. Jesus fled to Egypt, came back. Well, I'm going to kill him on the cross. He did. Satan went, woo, I got him. And then 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. Verse 5, that's our next scene. Hallelujah. And instead of Satan going, woo, he started shaking like a leaf and saying, my time is short. My time has come. And Satan, who had a little bit of freedom to go around the heavens as well as the earth, was then kicked out of heaven because of the resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus said, Satan, I've not yet sealed hell because I still have an elect. I still have a church age that I'm going through, but your time is short. So scene 4, the Messiah comes. She gave birth to a son, a male who is going to rule all nations with an iron rod. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God to be nourished there for 1,260 days. That's just the start of the church. We go to verse 7. Then war broke out in heaven. As I said, when Christ rose from the dead, Michael and the faithful angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels also fought. At the resurrection of Christ, he ascended into heaven. There was war. And then, but it could not prevail, and there was no place for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was thrown out, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. He was thrown to earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, because of what Jesus has done, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have now come, because the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been thrown down. They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives to the point of death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. And we stop. And that's scene 4. Jesus comes, and through his work, his perfection, and through his death on the cross, through his burial, through his resurrection, and through his ascension to heaven, Satan's time has been cut short. He's been cast out of heaven, and he knows that the church age is coming to a culmination to the end of time. He's raging like a roaring lion. Be ready, church. But the church has the power of Christ in us to walk in triumphal procession. Amen? So we get to the last scene, and that takes us to 12b, woe to the earth. Here we are, church age. Here we are. We are that chosen people, that woman who's being taken out into the wilderness. Let's read about it. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you with great fury. I don't know if that scares you, but boy, that makes me disciplined. That gives me discipline. That gives me binging on the Word of God. Psalm 1 is my theme. Do not, what does it say? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or sit in the seat of mockers, or stand in the way of sinners, but his delight is on the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. He meditates on it day and night so that his roots can grow deep, and his leaves will not wither. Are you with me, church? Satan is roaring like a roaring, is prowling like a roaring lion. Let's get in the Word of God to resist him, standing firm in the faith, as Peter said. And it says, verse 13, when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he persecuted. Anybody been persecuted by unbelievers, by Satan's crowd? Okay, who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she could fly from the serpent's presence to her place in the wilderness, where she was nourished for a time, times, and half a time. From his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river flowing after the woman to sweep her away with the flood. The serpent tells lies, but it can be swallowed up in the Word of God. But the earth helped the woman. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the river and that the dragon had spewed from his mouth. So the dragon was furious with the woman, the chosen ones of God, and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep the commands of God and hold firmly to the testimony about Jesus. So we get to vision number 5, and that is the church age. That's you and me holding firm to the testimony of Jesus Christ as we await his second coming, where he will come and he will reward those who have put their faith in him. He will receive them and reward them. And he will reject those who have rejected him and send them off with Satan in the lake of fire to be destroyed in an eternal, conscious punishment, separated from God forever. It's their just reward. Our just reward is for what Christ has done. So I just challenge you today. We get to the application. I know there's a lot there. I'm giving you the big picture from way up. There's a lot of details in there that theologians have argued about what it all means, that you can go study, but I'm giving you the big picture. And so the application is this. If you're here today, we are in the church age, and we don't know when Christ is coming. We know that it's getting closer and that Satan is furious and he's raging like never before because his time is short. Are you with me, church? So I just challenge you. For some of you here today for the first time, I challenge you this. What did John the Baptist say about Jesus Christ? He saw Jesus Christ coming, and he told his disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." If you're here today and you've never put your faith in Christ, when you put your faith in Christ, what he will do is he will take your sin and put it on him because he's worthy. And then he will take his righteousness and put it on you. I ask a lot of people, "Are you good enough to go to heaven?" Some tell me yes. And I say, "Do you have any sin in your life? Because sin separates you from God forever, no matter what it is." And they say, "Well, of course I'm a sinner." Well, then you need Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can take your sins away. And he's the only one that can give you perfect righteousness, because that's what God requires. So is there anybody here today that would say, "I want to receive Christ"? All right, I see some hands already, church. Hallelujah. Is there anybody? And let me tell you that anybody who raises their hand for the first time, all of heaven rejoices, is what the Bible says. Not only the church, but the angels in heaven. So let me just tell you that if you raised your hand and say, "I want to follow Jesus and I want to be with him forever rather than be rejected by him," Romans 10:9 tells us simply, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Hallelujah.
That's it. He will save you from your sin. He will empower you with his spirit so that you can overcome Satan and all of his prowling and your own sin nature, so you can live a holy life and be ready for his coming. So church, any of you who said yes to Jesus today, Pastor Kirk's going to come out in just a minute and he's going to tell you what your next step would be so that this church can help you. For you who've been following Christ, my challenge to you is to be equipped, is to be reminded that there is an adversary who's prowling around like a roaring lion, and that your own nature is a struggle. So put the belt of truth on. as Ephesians 6 tells us. Every day, meditate on it day and night. Take the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Go to Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, and memorize it. Put the breastplate of righteousness that comes when you put your faith in Christ. Put the helmet of salvation on that comes when you put your faith in Christ. And pray on all occasions for all the people in all the world who love Jesus. Church, it's been a pleasure to just kind of take you through a little timeline of Revelation, the epic timeline of God. Kirk's going to come and tell you, if you receive Christ for the first time today, what you can do. So, Pastor Kirk, I'll give it to you, my brother.
Thank you, Craig. What a gift to have him this morning, right? Man. Okay, listen, I don't want us to leave this moment because God's obviously doing some stuff in some people's hearts in this room. So if you are in that boat today and you showed up here, you heard that, and you said, I need to have Jesus cover my sin, right? I need a relationship with God. I need him to make me right with God. If you're here today and that's you, if you're one of those who just raised your hand and said, I want to put my faith in Jesus today. I want to follow him, okay? Or if you're here and you didn't raise your hand a second ago, you're like, oh, I missed my moment. Listen, your moment's not over. We're still in this moment right now. That's why I don't want us to get too far down this road today. So if you're here, you say, Kirk, I want to put my faith in Jesus today. I want eternity with God. We want to give you the opportunity to commit to him in this moment. So if we could, I just want everybody in the whole room, close your eyes, bow your heads. All across this room. We heard a great word this morning. God spoke to a lot of us. And if you're here today and you say, Kirk, I don't have a relationship with God. I don't have a right relationship with God. I want Jesus to save me from my sin and make me right with him, that I might spend eternity with him. Never put my faith in him before. I want to choose him today. If that's you, if you could, just similar to what we just did a second ago, without looking, nobody look around. If you could, just slip your hand up in the air. Let me see that hand. Okay, I see you right there. Awesome. You can make sure I see it. Slip your hand up in the sky. Okay, I see you, buddy. All right, you guys can put your hands back down. That's awesome. So here's what I want to give you an opportunity to do. I want you to just get a chance to make this really personal, okay? I want you to get a chance to communicate with God what's going on in your heart right now. So if that's you right now in this moment, I want you to pray a prayer, okay? It's not magical. I'm not giving you like the magical words, but what I am going to do is just kind of lead you through prayer that'll help you communicate to God, right? So again, if that's you today, would you just pray this prayer with me in your heart to God or something like it? God, I come to you today and I thank you for sending Jesus. I thank you that he died on the cross for my sin. I thank you that he rose from the grave. Even when the devil thought he had won, that he hadn't won. And God, I believe it. And so, Lord, I'm coming to you today. I'm just asking, would you forgive me of my sin? Would you save me? Would you bring me into your family? God, I want to spend forever with you. Not apart from you. I want to spend forever with you. And friend, if you prayed that prayer, if that's what your heart really says in this moment, I want you to know that God is pleased to welcome you into his family. To exchange the sacrifice of Jesus, his blood, to lay your punishment on him that you might have life and a right relationship with God. And I want you to know that the Bible says that no one will ever snatch you out of his hand. God has got you. You're in the family. God loves you. He's like a dad to you now. The Bible says we're his kids. So today you get to walk in the assurance that from this moment into eternity, you have a right relationship with God, that he's done on your behalf all that needs to be done, that one day you might stand with him in glory. And we praise him with you today. Lord, we thank you for saving people in this room today. Lord, I thank you for the day when I was 8 years old and you saved me. And Lord, we thank you that in this room there are folks who for the first time experienced your salvation in their life. Lord, give them the courage to follow you, to put on the armor of God every day, to be committed to your work in the world wherever they go. Lord, thank you for your goodness and your love and your kindness and your victory. In your name we pray. Amen. Church, we celebrate that there's salvation in this room today. Today. I want to give you a moment to respond this morning. A couple of things. There's a connect card that's in the seat in front of you. And I want to point out a couple things on it that we don't normally point out. One, if you are one of those folks today who put your faith in Christ for the first time, there's a little box on there that says, I'm committing my life to Jesus for the first time. We either want you to fill this out and check that box and put it in one of those boxes in the back of the room, or up on the screen, can we throw that real quick? There it is. Excellent. You can text Jesus to 281-946-6500. We'll follow up with you this week and help you learn about the first steps that you ought to take as a follower of Jesus.
So glad that you joined us online today at Houston Northwest Church, where our vision is to make Houston more like heaven by helping Houstonians become more like Jesus. If you have questions about following Jesus or would like to talk to someone about next steps in your spiritual journey, text KNOWJESUS to 281-946-6500. Connect with us throughout the week by following us on social and enjoy a great day.